Black residents in Grand Rapids have long thought the city's police targeted them unfairly. But a traffic study released last year backed up those thoughts with data. Michigan Radio's Bryce Huffman reports what residents and the department think has changed since that study was released.
This is the intersection of Kalamazoo Street and Burton in Grand Rapids. It's a windy day in this predominantly black neighborhood on the southeast side of the city. A few pedestrians make their way to the bus stop next to the mobile gas station on the corner. 4 years ago, Elaine Howell was on her way to work at Meijer. It was in the early hours of the morning, so it was still dark out. She noticed a police car following her as she approached this intersection.
And I said to myself, get ready because I know he's going to stop me.
Howell kept driving with the police car behind her for about a mile. Once she pulled into the Meijer parking lot on 28th Street, she saw flashing lights.
My heart started racing, and I said, hey, you didn't do anything wrong. I kept my hands on the steering wheel. I didn't reach for anything. I let them instruct me.
Her fear was heightened by what she saw next.
When he approached my car, he also had his hand on his gun.
The officer gave her a speeding ticket, but it was later voided after police looked at traffic cam footage that showed she was actually going below the speed limit. Howell made it out of that situation without any physical harm, but her trust in the Grand Rapids police might be forever lost. And she's not alone in that mistrust. Black residents have long criticized the department for questionable stops just like this. Last year, a traffic study showed that between 2013 and 2015, black drivers were twice as likely to be stopped by police as their white counterparts. The department started getting more intentional with implicit bias training for its officers, making sure to really examine why officers make the choices they make when dealing with civilians. It's only been a year since the ball got rolling on this. The city's chief of police, David Rahinsky, acknowledges that residents might not see a big change quite yet.
It's an ongoing effort. It's not a one and done. There's not a magic potion for these types of issues, but this is a great community. It's a great police department, and I have no doubt that collectively we'll get to where we want to be.
The department has an outside consulting firm looking through the policies and procedures officers follow. They're trying to ensure that there aren't any disparate outcomes for any particular group of people. But some residents are skeptical. LaDonna Norman is a black woman who frequents public meetings to discuss issues like police bias. Norman was stopped by police back in January. She says everything about the stop was odd.
It got to the point where I'm about to have an anxiety attack. I'm not feeling well. I'm anxious. And the police have me pulled over and they're questioning my identity.
She says police stopped her for not using a turn signal, but for some reason they started asking questions about her twin sister. Norman wasn't ticketed and she wasn't physically harmed, but her idea of the city's police was further soured. Norman thinks the police department is inherently racist and that no amount of training or community meetings will change that.
They're trying to rebuild something that was systematically set up for us to fail.
I walked around predominantly black neighborhoods in Grand Rapids for hours at a time to ask people what they thought of the city's police. We can't play most of their responses on air, but there were a lot of four-letter words used. We can, however, share one response that came from a man named Darian Colbert. He's a Grand Rapids native who thinks that black residents have been pushed around for too long.
We ain't gonna wait forever, you know. Eventually, it's gonna get to a breaking point. Everything do, you know. When you oppress people, they rise up in a fiery anger.
So the Grand Rapids Police Department has two jobs ahead. The first is acknowledging and fixing any bias in how it polices black neighborhoods. The second, which might be even harder, is building trust with black residents. I'm Bryce Huffman.
You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty. Since 2015, the entire Grand Rapids Police Department underwent racial bias training. So we wondered, has anything improved for black drivers in Grand Rapids? Michigan Radio's Kay LaFond looked at data for 2017. Kay, what made you want to dive into this data?
Well, you know, there's a long history of tension in Grand Rapids between the community and the police. And in early 2017, there was a study that came out, and the results of that study showed that black drivers are twice as likely to be stopped. So there is definitely a problem happening. But it only looked at the years 2013 through 2015. But we thought, you know, that study came out, and we also knew that there was a police bias training in 2016. And the study came out in early 2017. So hypothetically, you know, 2017 should have been better. You had a study done, you had this bias training that had already taken place. But the anecdotes didn't look good. We had an incident with, you know, multiple unarmed black kids handcuffed and put in cop cars after a phone call. And that was just a couple weeks before the study was released. And then later that year in December, there was an 11-year-old black girl held at gunpoint. And we thought, you know, what gives? Has anything changed? I wanted to answer that question with data.
All right. So you dive into the data. What'd you find? Have things gotten better?
Well, it's really, really hard to tell. Long story short. I mean, police data can be misinterpreted really easily. We thought we had some things at first, but then we ran them by an expert, Dr. Michael Smith. He's chair of the Criminal Justice Department at UT San Antonio. And he told me that we were misinterpreting some things. And it's really hard to find, you know, evidence of bias in data.
So he kind of just basically poked holes in everything that you thought you'd found?
Pretty much. And, you know, he had seen other newsrooms making this same mistake, and he talked about seeing other newsrooms kind of go on to publish those findings without, you know, adding any of the important context. And he thought, you know, sometimes people are misleading their readers. So
and statistics are complicated.
Yeah.
So give us an example of this.
So we know that the city of Grand Rapids is about 20% black. And we looked at the overall pool of traffic stops, and we saw that black motorists accounted for about 40% of the stops in both 2016 and 2017. So on the surface, that sounds like, okay, you've got, you know, a disproportionate number of black motorists being stopped compared to the population. And also, it didn't get better in 2017, seemingly.
Yeah, you could think that.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a couple of problems with this. The first is that to really prove a bias, you have to compare stops to the driving population, which is not the same as the general population. You know, people aren't always working, shopping, or going to school where they're living. Not everybody has a driver's license. Mm. And there's just so many other things. And research has shown that the general population, you know, what the numbers you get from the census data, just can't stand in for the driving population.
That's a good way to look at it. What's the second problem?
The second problem is that if you're looking at stops on a citywide basis, you're missing local policing patterns. So it could be that police spend more time in black neighborhoods. And if that's the case, you know, maybe that's a problem in and of itself. But it doesn't show that police are picking more black motorists out of traffic. It's just that they're spending more time where more of the drivers are black.
Got that. But there was this study done looking at the years 2013 through 2015 that did show bias, correct? So how did they do it?
Yeah. So to deal with these issues, the consultant who did the study, they had to basically pick 20 intersections in the city. And then at each intersection, they had to go out and count the cars and the race of the drivers in the cars at each one. And then at each intersection, they could estimate what, you know, portion of the motorists driving through there are black.
Okay.
Then you compare that to the city's data on the traffic stops at that particular intersection. So, for example, at the intersection of Bridge and Stocking, black drivers made up 15%. But in 2015, you know, they made up 30% of the traffic stops. So that's evidence of bias. You've got, you know, twice as many
people being stopped
percentage-wise as there are, you know, in the population. So, you know, that is something that can give you a clear answer, yes, at this intersection there's a problem. Unfortunately for us, the data that we have and that we were looking at, it wasn't referenced to, you know, individual intersections, so we couldn't calculate stop statistics for 2017 at that same local level, and we couldn't really make a comparison.
Okay. Yeah, you also looked at searches, didn't you?
We did. And we looked at searches for the city overall. And, you know, this is a little better because we can at least say, okay, once the motorists are stopped, we can see that 6% of, you know, the black motorists who were stopped, they were then searched at the officer's discretion. And that's down from 2013 when it was at 10%, but it's no different than in 2016. And it's about twice the rate at which white drivers are stopped. So
that kind of sounds like there really wasn't any improvement from 2016 to 2017.
Right. And Dr. Smith told us, you know, those numbers are a good first step and that they're, you know, kind of suggestive. But we are missing another piece, and that's something called a hit rate. So the hit rate is the rate at which different racial groups are actually found with illegal items when they're searched. So some police departments have argued that different search rates are defensible if one racial group is found with contraband more often.
Okay, this sounds controversial.
It is controversial, and not everybody, you know, agrees that that's an appropriate justification. But regardless, most studies on a broad basis have found that black motorists are actually found with illegal items less often than white motorists.
Hmm.
And the consulting firm looking at Grand Rapids found that in Grand Rapids, black motorists are no more likely to have illegal items with them. But we didn't have data on hit rates for 2016 or 2017. So again, couldn't draw a direct comparison.
All right. So there's one more hole punched in that. Now, you looked at stop reasons too.
Yeah, and this one wasn't really like a comparison between years. We weren't really looking at any kind of difference or change over time. We were just curious. And we pooled all the data we had from 2013 to 2017, and we found some pretty interesting patterns, mainly that the leading stop reasons for black drivers and white drivers were different.
How so?
Well, white drivers are most commonly stopped because of a moving violation, so some kind of traffic infraction, you know, you're doing something wrong on the road. But black drivers are most commonly stopped because of equipment violations. So that includes things like missing license plates and broken brake lights. But we don't know what that means. It could be that cops are targeting black drivers using equipment violations, or it could be socioeconomic. It could be that black drivers are having more trouble affording new brake lights, or it could be a combination. We can say stop reasons are different between the groups, but we really can't put our finger on why.
So from all of this, what do you think the main takeaway is, Kay?
Well, I want to make it clear that we aren't saying there isn't a problem in Grand Rapids. You know, that study that was done, it was high quality. It was professional analysis of the data, and they found clear evidence of bias. What we are saying is that it's really hard to recreate that with the kind of data you can get your hands on as a news person. And I think a lot of newsrooms around the country right now are, you know, trying to do something similar. They're trying to get this police data and, you know, they should make sure that they're putting their findings into proper context.
Digging into the statistics and doing it right.
Yes.
Very good. Michigan Radio's Kayla Fahn. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Cindy.